We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Get some Hey Man L in your life. This hour is brought to you by our friends at Buffalo Wild Wings. Guys, it's Wednesday. You can't stop by. You can't. Okay, fine. Order Buffalo Wild Wings. Go pick it up on your way home or for your next event. Mike, we're live inside the Ticketmaster studios. We had a great conversation with Raheem Morris earlier. You'll hear it in the 6 o'clock hour coming up. In about 15 minutes from now, less than that, you're going to hear from our man Clint Capella talking about the Hawks, who open up the season tonight down at State Farm Arena against Brooklyn. And we will hear what he has to say about Trey and all the things going on with this team here on the station. But before we get to all of that, Mike, today, as we've been up here, you know, the vibe is, hey, let's correct the mistakes that we had against Seattle. Right. Let's limit the penalties and understand that this is an opportunity that's in front of us. And I don't want to get caught up in who's not there. And Ross said it. You know, as a coach, you look at this differently when you don't have some of your stars. They're not going to have Mike Evans. They're not going to have Godwin. But it doesn't mean this is going to be a cakewalk. And so, as we've said, what happens in this game on Sunday? Because, guys, it's not going to look like the last one that we played just a few weeks ago with Tampa.
Yeah, I know that we feel as fans immediately, as you said. It's kind of like that Madden game thing. We go, okay, that's some huge scoring. That's a Hall of Famer. That's another great player in Godwin. You know, and you're just going to be able to roll. And if it's a dial-up score, we'll roll it up. See, this is a game where Tampa Bay leans hard on that defense, and they're going to take away the run game, and maybe they do give up a lot of passing yards. I just don't know if their secondary can do the job that they want to do. So I don't know if it's going to be as high scoring, but you know what Tampa's going to say, man. Look, they're going to rally. They're going to be pretty fired up, and they're going to come up with something. And as Coach alluded to, you know, Todd Bowles, you know, pretty crafty coach, was coming up with some defensive scheme. But if you're looking for a repeat, I mean, I still think we can score some passing in the passing game, but I still want to run the football. Well, run it right at him. Show that you can run the ball against Tampa.
No, I do too, Mike. They lost 36-30 to us, but they put up 30. They beat New Orleans, right, 51-27, right after they lost to us. And then they still scored 31 points against the Ravens on Monday night. So it's not like they haven't been scoring. But, again, you still had Godwin and Evans in, you know, the makeup of what that offense was going to look like. Here's the thing, Mike. Can we get to Baker Mayfield? He was sacked 3 times against the Ravens. And we don't have anybody close right now, at least the way it looks, that's getting after the quarterback the way the Ravens are. And right. They're not even getting after the quarterback the way they did a year ago when they led the league in sacks. So, to me, this is still about pressuring Mayfield and making him literally beat us without his 2 top wideouts.
Yeah, we looked at some numbers today. And one, it's funny, when I said to Coach kind of like, they're going to choke me. We are allowing the highest completion percentage amongst quarterbacks or opposing quarterbacks that have already faced this. 72.1% of passes are being completed against us. You know, and it's not all like dink and dunk, okay? And as he said, he kind of leveraged the conversation to say it was more about the vertical passing game this week. With Metcalf and Lockett, before,
yes.
You know, obviously before Metcalf.
3 big plays in the first half that
right.
really hurt us.
But this gets back to, you know, is the solution in the building? Mark Ramondi from the press conference was talking to Morris, Coach Raw, about when, you know, Ruka Rororo, who's been in the games, and Brandon Dorlus, and he said bringing these guys along slowly. Coach said that's a grown man's position. You talk about the interior of any line. Now, they're listed as DEs, but again, it's a 3-man front with the outside linebacker coming in, so technically you're inside. We don't have edge rush on this roster.
No.
You know, that's basically it. Judon, Braylon Trice would have been an outside linebacker that would have walked up in the mix. Man, you miss him. But anyway, just getting back to not to belabor the point, we just don't have those guys in the building.
So what is he saying about Dorlus? What is he saying?
It said it's something that it takes a while to get it going. The biggest difference is the physical capability of doing their jobs on a daily basis. So learning on the job. So, but you drafted him. They're pretty, you know, in the middle of the pack as far as those picks. 4th rounder. But, you know, we've seen 4th rounders have impacts, and we've seen guys as lower picks than that have impacts in Falcons history sooner than these guys.
Yeah, for sure. We hopefully will continue to grow and get better. There are a lot of things defensively we're doing right. The thing we cannot do, and again, I think they're going to be limited. And if I'm Tampa, listen, I'm not coming out and saying Baker's got to throw the ball 55 times to beat us. That's just too much. I think they have talented running backs, Mike, and I think they want to control the game, and they're going to say, you know what? Defensively,
right.
We feel good about what we did against the Falcons last time a few weeks ago, but we got to run the ball in this game and control the clock. I think their philosophy changes, mm-hmm. and they want to slow things down, because if we come out and score –
Now they're trying to their whole game plan changes. So right. I don't know if they can win. That's a winning formula for them right now with the people that they have in place right. to take the places of Godwin and Evans.
We talked about it, you know, and Coach referenced, like, you know, Sterling Shepard is a little bit longer in the tooth, but he's been around the league for a while.
For sure.
And the Bucs have got a guy they drafted from Washington State who certainly caught passes from Michael Penix. Washington, I should say, UW. So they've got some guys. It's just a matter of, you know, yes, can they be effective? No one can replace what they're losing in Godwin and Evans. Godwin for the season, Evans for at least 4 weeks.
404-726-0929. That is the number for you to hit us up. Also, it is our text line, guys. We'd love to hear from you. I do want you to hear from Raheem Morris earlier today. And back at the studio, Big O, I want to play a couple of these sound bites because he was talking about some of the things that Mike and I are discussing right now. And one of them, you know, has to do with the tenor of the game. And this gets back to how you either run the ball or you stop the run. If you can do one or the other or both, Mike, you're then in control right. of the situation. And we ran for 73 yards against these guys last time. They forced Kirk Cousins to have to throw the ball, and he did, to go win the game. I don't want to be in that situation again, but it may play out that way. This is Raheem Morris talking about the tenor of the game and stopping the run.
It always starts with the run, just in general. You know, I think most coaches say that just as a cliche type of thing. But, you know, realistically with these guys and how they've been running the ball the last couple of weeks and what they're able to do, having success versus the Saints and as well as Baltimore, you know, and us spitting out that big play, I think is really something that they've really done a nice job of the last couple of weeks. So I think it starts there because of what they've done, not necessarily what we've done or the Falcons defense. I think these guys, they got a lot of running backs. They got a bunch of good running backs. And you want to be able to go out there and stop those guys to make it one-dimensional in order from the guys to have to be you in the pass game.
Yeah. And their backs, by the way, catch the ball out of backfield. They're versatile guys. That's how I'm approaching. If I'm Tampa, that's how I'm approaching this game.
We talked about that Chargers game. Was it 2 years ago with Austin Eckler?
Oh.
When the Chargers were the same thing. They had all their, you know, Keenan Allen was banged up his entire career in Los Angeles.
They didn't have anybody.
But they were banged up. And maybe Bucky Irving will be a guy they can use out of the backfield along with Rashad White. But, you know, they got dudes. And we'll see. Look, we should win this game, okay? You're losing two of your biggest pieces offensively. You should be able to win this game. But it's still Baker Mayfield, and Baker Mayfield can pick him up and put him down. You know, we remember we beat them down there last year. We looked awful doing it. Ritter had all those turnovers.
Turnovers, yeah.
But then Baker came right back. Baker had a bad week against us in Tampa that year, then came up and beat us at home here. So you know how it goes.
You can't predict it. That's I'm not taking anything for granted, right? This week, if anything, let's not take anything for granted. Even though it looks good, it looks like we're going to be in a good place. We're in better shape than they are. You still have to go play and win this game.
And we can't have two flat efforts. And we spent a lot of time, and you'll hear the conversations Carl mentioned with Coach coming up. But, you know, we explained it on Monday. Some teams just come out flat. It's hard to explain to a fan because, hey, you're paid big money for 17 weeks. But it's human nature. It happens. But you cannot give me two lifeless efforts back to back. No way. Because we were just a week ago, you and I were saying, look, we match up with anybody in this NFC. Now I'm like, you know, you lose a little confidence. I mean, you better come back and look like a house of fire and look like this team which can win this division and go on. 4-0, as you pointed out, is huge in this division.
No doubt.
You basically can't screw up the division almost, if we're honest.
Well, you go into a situation, though, seriously.
I didn't do Nostradamus. Chris is going to tap the brakes.
No, but if you do win Sunday, right, and you're telling me then we beat the Saints, the last game of the season, right, you've already secured the division.
Correct.
Now you're playing for playoff position in the NFC.
Right.
That's what we're talking about. It's not done.
If you win this game, the worst you can be is 4-2 in the division.
It puts you in a great spot. 404-726-0929. A couple of the news notes.
I am not Nostradamus.
A couple of the news notes, Mike. Around the National Football League, we said this. Andy Dalton and his family, thank God nothing happened, but they got into a car accident yesterday. So that means that Bryce Young is going to start. It is official. Dave Canales came out and said he will start for Carolina based on the situation. So they're going to go with him. And then Jameis announced as the starter with the Browns.
And Kevin Stefanski is taking himself out of the play calling. Ken Dorsey, the former Bills OC, is going to call the plays for the Browns, which kind of feels like, oh, boy, one more step to Stefanski probably being shown the door at the end of this year. Stuff that's way beyond his control. The biggest story, though, of the NFL week is, man, the rich getting friggin' richer, and you go and get D-Hop to Kansas City, you talked about earlier. That's just, Carl, that's a perfect fit.
They only give up a fifth-round pick. There's certain performance incentives. If he hits, it becomes a fourth-round pick. But Tennessee looking to get the number one quarterback and D-Hop going to a much better place.
Yeah, listen, this is Kansas City saying we're all in, right? We don't know if we'll be in this situation again to ever have a chance to chase a three-peat, and it's historic. No one's done it, right? So you say, okay, what does our quarterback need? Patrick Mahomes definitely needs to play better, but this gives him another option. And I think, Mike, for all that we talked about Kelce, it's going to help Kelce.
It's going to open things up in the spacing in that offense because Rashee Rice, you don't know when you're going to see him back on the field. You talked about, you know, Pat, this guy, how much has he got left in the tank? Well, he sure beat our butts up in Nashville last year with Will Levis throwing the ball.
Yeah, he can still get open. There's no doubt. Hey, coming up, Hawks season opener tonight. We talk with Clint Capela about the new-look Hawks and what his expectations are. You'll hear it coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The Strong Arm Story of the Day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
Clint Capela's on the line right now. Let's talk to the big fella. Clint, it's good to have you back on the show, man. Thanks for joining us here on Dukes and Bell. You ready for another season, man?
Man, I'm so excited, man. Just to be able to play another season, excited and feeling good. Tim's feeling good, so yeah.
We're excited about some of the new faces, man. What have you seen so far from Reese Shea? What's he looking like?
Man, no, he's nice, man. You know, talented young guy. Excited to play, working, you know. So it's going to be great, man. I'm excited for him.
Yeah, I mean, he's long, but he can shoot the three, right? I mean, he's got a nice jumper.
Oh, yeah. He is a shooter, man. He can shoot, so he's going to shoot. And everybody's telling him to do so. So he has that confidence.
Clint Capela joining us here on Dukes and Bell. So, Clint, man, an interesting offseason, right? I mean, moves made. Obviously, we get the number one pick, and then obviously DJ is traded away. How does that change the complexity of the team, in your opinion? What did that do, and what does it do for the guys like Daniels, who's now come here, and, you know, maybe even Dre? How does that change things?
No, we know that now our main guy is going to be Trey, even more with the ball. We have Dyson Daniels. They're going to bring our step it up on defense for us, able to catch and shoot the three on offense. You know, Dre is going to do what he does, guard the best wing on the opposite team, and offensively, just he's going to stay aggressive. And, you know, we have JJ, who just resigned last night. Shout out to him. He's just great, man. Young guy with a lot of potential. And I can see that he can bring a lot to us, and I'm excited for him.
Going to his 11th season in the NBA, man, is Clint Capela with us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Yeah, about Jalen, does that mean he's buying dinner for the first couple of weeks?
He's going to have to, man. Going to have to let him know, you know, joke around a little bit. But hey, he's going to be up for it. I know you will.
You've been around the league, so we talked about his athleticism. That was a guy that we always felt like there no way they'd ever trade him. And it seems like there's still so much upside with him. Like, he's still scratching the surface of his game with Jalen.
Yeah. I mean, like, I really feel like he has one real season as a starter, you know, so he has many more to come, and his body's feeling great. He's working hard on his body. He's always in training room, make sure that he works on his balance, whatever, weight room. He always at the gym shooting. So when you see a guy working hard like that, you can only be excited for him.
Clint, I know we had a lot of injuries last year, but defensively there were areas we needed to be better in. Everybody knew it. Coach Quinn knew it as well. I want to know what the message is heading into this season for you guys. Mm-hmm. The personnel has changed, which we feel like gives us a better, you know, chance to be better defensively with Daniels, yourself, JJ around the rim. I mean, Rashee Shea blocking shots. But what's the message?
No, you know that. You know, we have more guys that can play defense and also give ourselves better chance by turning the ball over less, you know, try to make teams play us in the half court more and, you know, be a presence on defense with guys like JJ, me, Zach, Dyson. We have size, so that's definitely it should help. But it's all about a mindset, you know. We have to work together as a team on the defensive end and not just let guys on an island. The best defensive team always communicate, always each other, and understanding each other on defense. That's what we have to do.
Do you expect a big year from Trey? I mean, it was what it was. We tried to make it work with two point guards, and it just seems like there were elements that kind of took away at times from Trey's game. And just, do you feel like this is a year where Trey reasserts himself as one of the elite players in this league?
Yeah, no, I think it'll be better for him to Foster to just be the main guy on the ball, less stressful for him. You know, I play with a guy like James Harden, who's always had the ball, and I think this is what should be happening with Trey, and he's going to be great this year, and he's going to have a lot of confidence, and that's what we need, because everything starts with him.
Tell us about Larry Nance Jr., man. I mean, he came over in the trade, but, you know, in the preseason, and again, it's preseason, Clint, but I like what I saw from Larry. What tell us a little bit about what you've seen from him.
You know, great vet, bringing energy, likes to talk, always give good advice to the guys, to us in the locker room. He's a great guy, man, great addition. He's going to bring that energy. Whenever he comes in, he's going to be ready. Bringing some energy defensively. Can finish around the rim, can shoot the three at times. And, you know, great guy to have in the locker room also.
How was your offseason, by the way? We know Bogey was busy with the Olympics, and that's a long summer. What was your summer like?
Yeah, no, I was, I was around here in Atlanta at the facility working out, using the pool, weight room, keeping my body ready. I feel good. I'm excited. So, I'm ready. I'm ready to go for another one. And I know that we have a lot for this team this year.
Yeah. I mean, you know, right before you came on, maybe you heard me talking about it. Everybody wants to know, all right, we're going to be one of the top eight teams in the East. You got to put in the work. But the East, man, it's a beast, right? I mean, you look at these teams.
Yeah.
It's a beast.
No, you're right.
Celtics, Knicks.
It's really about consistency, you know. Never get too high, never get too low. It's a long season, 32 games, one game at a time. And just going to try to get better one day at a time. And I think this is how you get better during the season. And we have everything we need, man. And we all we got. So it's about that time now.
Clint, a few years ago, man, when you guys, it seems like yesterday, but it was, 21 when we went to the Eastern Conference Finals?
Yeah.
Talk to me real quick about the confidence of that team and what you think happened. Because people always felt like we were going to build on that. Mm. We didn't. And now, you know, we've gone through these different additions. You are one of the mainstays. You and Trey are still here, obviously. But what do you think happened and transpired there between us being in the Eastern Conference Finals and then feeling like it took us, we've taken steps back?
Yeah, no, it was, you know, it was different. You know, I remember during the year, I had a couple of injuries, and we had good vets, and, you know, Will Williams, Danilo, Solomon Hill, just, you know, good guys in the locker room, good vets that were ready to just fulfill their role. And because at the end of the day, this is what you needed in team. You need that whenever you have guys stepping up to just fill up their role and not, you know, not necessarily try to do too much. You just have to try to do enough to help this team win. And that's the main thing during the season. But, you know, everybody would be doing it if it was easy.
It's a 10-year NBA veteran. Clint Capella's with us here, guys, on the WadeFord.com hotline. Carl asked you about Quinn Snyder's message. Does it feel when you turn the roster over a little bit and get some new faces in here, is it just fresh? Like it's just like a new vibe?
Yeah, definitely. It feels fresh, new energy. And this is what this team needed. We give ourselves the lot of energy which we need, which we're going to need during the season. It's going to be able to keep us consistent, you know, results as consistent as we can. And this is how you build a team to get to the top eight in the East.
You've always been a great rebounder. Did you work on free throws this offseason? What did you work on?
Yeah, I mean, I work a lot on free throws, my conditioning, you know, be able to finish around the paint with both hands, you know, dunk the ball, block shots, defensive schemes, be able to be comfortable on switches, you know, all this kind of stuff. My communication defensively, any areas that I can help this team, you know, and I know this is what I do, and I take pride in that. So this is what I did during the summer.
That's what we always say. We watch you at the arena, and we're like, flush it, Clint, flush it. Throw it down, baby. Throw it down.
Yeah. That's what it is, but that's every night. So it's also a mindset that you have to have every 2 days to do it in every city and anytime during a game. So it's really a mindset that has to be consistent too.
Hawks, Brooklyn tomorrow at State Farm Arena as we're joined by Clint Capella here from our Atlanta Hawks. One last thing for me before we let you go. World Cup coming to the ATL, man. I know you're excited. It's going to be crazy, and I'm curious to know, you know, in your spare time, how much do you pay attention to soccer and what's going on?
No, I mean, I grew up in Europe, Switzerland, Geneva, watching soccer. So I'm a huge soccer fan. And, I mean, World Cup is everything. It's the biggest stage of the world. You get to represent your country playing soccer. So it's huge, man, to have this in Atlanta. And I'm definitely going to have to catch these games.
No doubt. Well, Clint, man, thank you so much. We still use that soundbite a few years ago when we played the Knicks. What you going to do about it? So we appreciate you, man. What you going to do about it when this season gets rolling? Thank you for joining us.
Hey, it's about that time. Thank you, guys.
Bye. All right, man. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Clint.
That's Clint Capella.
Good dude, man. As we said, our conversation early in the show yesterday, I want you guys to hear it, especially for folks that are getting ready to watch the curtain raiser for your 24-25 Hawks. Over under at 35 wins.
Over.
Well, yes, we sure hope so. Otherwise, we're right back in the play-in game. Our man, Steve Holman, bang, going for his 3,000 consecutive Hawks broadcast, which is mind-blowing.
It is. It's crazy. This hour is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Can't stop in? Order Buffalo Wild Wings. Go and pick it up on your way home or for your next event. We'll come back. We got to talk some college football. We talked with Charlie Warner today. He was talking about his bet he made with Bijan Robinson, and someone paid it off. You know, sometimes you make bets with your friends or your teammates, and that's exactly what Charlie Warner did when it came to Georgia taking on Texas. And, of course, he bet Bijan Robinson. So Bijan today at his presser came into the presser with a Georgia shirt on. Our buddy Joe Patrick tweeted it out. The funny thing is, Mike, Kirk Cousins was like, yeah, I think they played the video game before, the college football game.
Right.
And the score was 30-15. Charlie Warner and Georgia won the game.
Now, that's wild. How about them apples?
I want you to hear Charlie. He joined us, by the way. That interview's online at odyssey.com. He came in here, and we were talking about his time at Georgia. Mike mentioned, you know, he was there when Kirby first got there. But I said to him, I feel like, you know, the difference for a lot of these guys with coaching is the intensity and certainly Kirby's edge. There are a lot of great coaches out there, but you felt that after the game at Texas where Kirby, and it translated to his team, how he came across, and we asked him about that intensity.
But for one thing, I know Coach Smart is a phenomenal recruiter and always gets such good talent in there to be able to compete in those big games and, you know, against the best teams in the country. I mean, as far as his edge, man, he's always just – he's always preaching like consistency and urgency, and he's getting the best out of those players all the time. And you know, I can speak to that being there with him, and I knew he was going to get those guys up for that moment going to Texas, and we saw that happen.
Yeah, did we ever? Charlie said, you know, the NIL thing is crazy, Mike, and you know, whenever you run into guys that played, especially over the last 10 years, anybody that played 20, 25 years ago, they can't even fathom what this looks like because the college football world was just totally different. But if you played in the last 10, 15 years and you're like, I just kind of stepped away from this, and now you're seeing guys, again, no disrespect, Carson Beck, driving Lambos and having, you know, endorsement deals and all this kind of stuff, it just kind of blows their mind. And you said, what would you have wanted? And he said, I don't even know.
Yeah, I said, would you be more automotive? I said, would you want chicken? You know what I mean? Like, you know, chicken tenders? You know, I mean, he strikes me as kind of like a pickup truck kind of guy, right? Grew up
Ford, tough.
About 52 miles up that way towards Lake Hartwell in Tiger, Georgia, by the way, which is just south of, ironically, just south of Clemson. But just good dude. And, you know, we mentioned that, you know, in the old days, as in like 5 years ago or just 3 years ago, Kirby would have, you know, depth across the board. There'd be backup defensive ends and tackles and linebackers. And now the backups say, well, I can go to another school in the SEC. I can transfer. I can go start right now. I don't want to wait. And part of what, you know, Kirby and what Nick Saban was selling was you come here and you put the work in, you're going to the NFL in the first round. And some guys say, yeah, I could maybe do that somewhere else, you know, and I'll try. And that's the difference. And so how do you navigate that? Or, you know, if you're Mike Norvell, you don't have anybody who has any kind of skill set or any kind of heart or desire that you brought in. But Kirby, I think, has got the right balance. And this game was such a huge win. You and I were talking off the air, and I mentioned it on the air. There was an article from Saturday Down South saying, if you are a Texas fan, if you go back and look at the, you know, we talked about how, you know, Georgia would, you know, do something stupid, and then Georgia would get the ball right back.
Yes.
Because they couldn't get. But on the flip side, whenever, you know, the Texas defense was on the field, they were holding Georgia to turnovers and field goals and a couple of punts. So I think if you're Texas, you feel like you can still hang with the elite offenses in the SEC and around the country.
Well, you do.
Your offenses can't not do. They just can't do what they got did, get basically blitzkrieged by the team that's playing you.
Well, here's the thing. How many more teams is Texas going to play defensively that are as good as Georgia or come in with the game plan and able to execute it as good as Georgia? I'm willing to tell you, Mike, there may be no other team in the country that's able to do that. So the fact that they didn't score points, you're right. That is the bright part of, okay, we got turnovers. We just didn't do anything with them. How different does that game look? You know, obviously, every time, just like a few years ago when Georgia lost to Alabama, and we said, will they get another shot? And they did, right? And then you saw them beat Alabama in a completely different situation. Now, neutral site and all of that, but the fact is, I think the folks at Texas are thinking the same thing. And, you know, they'd love to have a chance to come to the SEC championship game and play. The fact of the matter is, Georgia, by that point, Mike, you know, they're still a one-loss team. Maybe Texas's only loss is to Georgia. We'll see how that shakes out, but that could be another meeting. We've said this year, there could be three potential meetings between those two teams if you think they're the best two teams. And a lot of people say, well, after Georgia beat them, they're not. But that matchup in Austin, the SEC championship game, and then depending on how the playoff plays out, you could see them play for a national championship. That is, to me, unrealistic, the odds of that happening, because there's so many things that have to go your way. But, yeah, I'm with you. That is the positive. But the fact is, Georgia dominated in every way that they needed to. And I think it was a wake-up call for the Georgia defense in that game to say, this is what we can be.
We talked to Wes Durham earlier today, and he was kind of more about the ACC, but he said it applies to other conferences, and that's like, you know, you could have a bunch of teams in these tiebreakers who might not even – the best team might not even technically make it to their conference championship, you know, if they're the hot team at the right time, which I get. I also think that, you know, we're honest, there's a lot of wringing hands right now, and we got to wait another 2 weeks until we get the College Football Playoff Committee's first ranking. And it does generally seem to work out, unless you were Florida State or Georgia or Baylor a couple years ago. I mean, for the most part, you know, that was the old days, but all four. I do think that it will be okay. I think with 12, I mean, you're going to be arguing about a two-loss team. You know what I mean? And at the end of the day, you lost two. You knew what the odds were of you maybe not getting in there.
404-726-0929. Stay tuned. We've got a pair of tickets for you to go check out Winterfest. It's coming your way December 20th, 8 o'clock at State Farm Arena. It is, again, an incredible show. It's Escape, BBD, Q Park and Friends, Soul for Real, Silk. More to be announced. It's going to be an incredible show. So we've got tickets for you if you want to go check that out coming up here between now and 7 o'clock. Also, as we're just talking about college football, Mike, and, you know, talking about Charlie Warner reliving his days there at Georgia and talking about, you know, what's been going on. The fact of the matter is, when you look at this particular landscape right now, is there a clear-cut favorite? As good as Oregon has played, right, and they won the game against Ohio State, or Georgia going on the road to beat Texas, like, is there a clear-cut dominant team? See, a few years ago when Georgia won it, we all knew they were the best team in college football.
Hands down.
It was just a matter of them
really
getting
there. It was almost like the Ohio State-Georgia game was the championship.
Yes. Yes, you know, and it was entertaining as hell. So I don't know. Somebody asked me that. Who's the clear-cut favorite? I don't know if there is one.
Because right now, just real quick, we got time for this. Because Oregon, yeah, they showed the ability to finally win. I mean, they've won some big games at Orlando, but this was huge.
That was a big one.
And if they played Ohio State again, would they win? I don't know. I think there's a great argument. I think Ohio State certainly was not ready for the ending of that game, and they could have kicked the field. There was options that they had there. They just couldn't execute. Georgia looks great. When you've got the healthy defense, when we see, you know, what Mike Hill Williams looks like, how good that defense looks, Georgia's going to go as far as Carson Beck. Carson Beck's going to stop doing stupid stuff, if we keep it real here. Now, that's it. I mean, Penn State, they've got a great quarterback. You touched about their defensive pieces the other day. But no one believes that Franklin won't gack it up along the way. But Penn State, maybe this is the year the stars align for them, you know? Just a thought. Miami, I got a feeling they're going to get beat by somebody who plays better defense because they're just living too dangerously.
Here's an interesting thing as we talk about these teams, looking at the best teams in college football on defense, okay? And if you are concerned about the Dogs, after that Texas performance, you go, well, we know we're way better than what we've shown. But Texas is number one, Mike, when it comes to, out of seven games, looking the best as far as, you know, stop rate, 82%. Right. And this is, again, this is all the statistical stuff that they do. Ohio State is 2. Tennessee is 3. Through 6 games, they still have Georgia on the schedule. Notre Dame with one of the best defenses. You saw Georgia Tech fans last weekend at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Army has a great defense, and that's one of the reasons why they're undefeated. 78.9% stop rate. So when you start looking at this stuff, you say, okay, if you feel like defense wins, then these teams are going to be in the mix. Iowa State, Mike, is one of the best defensive teams in the country, which is why, again, they're unbeaten.
And then you get into a team, which I like, sexy team like LSU, but LSU's giving up nearly 21 points a game.
which has them way down in the pack. I mean, you just mentioned Texas. They're still giving up less than, to your point, 10 points a game.
Yep.
Tennessee's giving up 11.6. Georgia is down there a little bit, but they're only giving 16.9. And then there's a bunch of teams that, if you're looking at the top right now, and obviously Miami's defense doesn't even come close because they've certainly given up a lot of points. Penn State just right behind Iowa State, to your point, Carl, about stop rate and points allowed.
All right.
So that's the difference with the thing is, though, nobody believes Penn State until they can finally knock off Ohio State.
Well, yes, but I think,
and then their luck, they'll have to rematch against them in the Big Ten championship, or unless it's Oregon.
Yes, and you know, again, if you believe that Tennessee is going to be a pushover, their defense is legit, at least according to the statistics. We'll see how they play against Georgia.
Well, what Nico, are you getting though?
That's the question.
It's a quarterback.
That's the question.
Carson or Nico, who's going to screw up more in the game at Stanford Stadium?
404-726-0929. Follow Mike. Mike Bell, ATL. I may put him up. See Dukes and follow the radio show at Dukes and Bell 929. Let's give you a chance to win those tickets right now to Winterfest. Caller number 10 is going to win the tickets to go see Escape, BBD, Q Parker and Friends, Carl Thomas, Soul for Real, Silk. More to be announced. Again, the concert is Friday, December 20th. Caller 10 at 404-726-0929. We're coming back 6 o'clock hour straight ahead. Atlanta United is moving on. We'll talk about it coming up.